Welcome to another special edition of the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, and we've got a program chock full of interesting things for you. This first hour, we're going to be talking about job hunting, finding that perfect job for you if you're getting back into the job market or you're the very first time you're going at that. We've got some expert advice on that. And we'll also be talking about a nasty little red dwarf who's coming back or going to try to come back and visit the city of Detroit. Get ready for the first hour. Well, as if to celebrate another supersized Internet Advisor, we've got the whole crew, and I mean the whole crew here. Gary Baker, good to have you in-house.
Well, we need everybody here. We're on for 3 hours today. This will be great.
All hands on deck. Ed Riddell's here. Good to have you, Ed.
Always good to be here. Smashed fingers and all.
Oh, dear. He's been doing some incredible mechanical work today.
So I thought you used a computer.
Well, I do, but, you know, you get into computers because you don't like things breaking and you want to know how to fix them. So, you know, first it started with toasters, then automobiles, and then eventually into computers. Yeah.
So he's going back to automobiles. And we have the ailing but present with us, Cal Carson. Good to have you here, Carson.
You're welcome to the world of feast or famine.
Oh, dear.
And is that starve a fever, feed a cold?
Whatever, man. Okay. I'll go either way today. I'll take a fever and eat a code, whatever. And to my right.
And to your right, Mr. Shane Hamblin. Shane, good to have you in studio.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Back from the gaming world.
Pawn Radio.
I'm taking a little break.
Yeah.
Trying something different.
Glad you could be back with us. Pwned Radio, by the way, is what you've stepped into now on Sundays, right?
Sundays, 9 to 11 on Podcast Detroit.
Did you say Pong?
Pwned.
How'd you spell that?
P-W-N-E-D.
Thank you.
You know, and I heard your description on your podcast, what that meant is people mistyping owned you. So I own you. They would type Pwned.
And it stuck, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is that where it came from?
Yeah. P's right next to the O.
I thought you just didn't like, you know, vowels or something.
No. It's hard to get people to pronounce it.
$20 for a vowel, please.
I saw the word pone, and I was looking for the word corn to go with it.
Yeah.
Well, we got the whole crazy crew here, and as Gary said, 3 hours of program. We're delighted, by the way, in this hour we're going to be talking with Todd Palmer, who's an author about job search process, and Joe Bastian is with us. He's a man who first let us know about the Nain Rouge, the Red Dwarf, and you'll find out more about that as we continue our program.
I think there's starting to be a few of those sightings around, you know?
There've been plenty of those sightings around. Matter of fact, on the internet, you certainly see a lot of them from last year, and there's a march coming up in March.
Yep.
Of the Nain Rouge as they try to march him out of town. That's the key. But Ed, I wanted to start off with you about something we got a note this week, which kind of disappointed me in some ways. As a matter of fact, surprised me. Right. And that was Paul Sr., our old buddy from Harbor Beach, who's now down in on the Gulf Coast.
Down near Houston.
Yeah, he calls us from the golf course every now and then.
And he told us that I thought it was kind of like the secret weapon for me in terms of a double whammy for getting rid of malware, that Combo Fix doesn't work with some of the newer versions of Windows.
Right. Windows 8.1 it does not work with, nor Windows 10. So, it'll work with Windows 7,
right.
Windows Vista, Windows 8.0 original, but who runs that?
Yeah.
But it will not install on the newer versions.
Mm.
And the only place you can legitimately download it from is from bleepingcomputer.com.
Safely download it from, yeah.
And
you know, it's interesting because how many people have had to use that since you've gone to Windows 10?
Oh, probably a few, if any. Right. That's true.
And what's nice about the Combo Fix is that inside the utility, it has the ability to directly send the log files to a user community at the bleepingcomputer.com, and they can analyze it for you if it's an unusual problem.
And what is Bleeping Computer, just for our listeners' sake?
Well, it's a website I've always used it. It's a very reliable resource.
Yeah.
It's a user community where people can register and ask questions about their computers, their issues. They're sort of like what we do online, but this not in real time, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So like the old forum groups where people like the user groups.
And better than being able to ask questions, they get answers.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, one of the answers apparently is possibly going to get them in trouble, and that was a rather detailed answer about a piece of software called Spy Hunter. And Ed, you brought this to my attention. Why don't you tell what the game is going on here?
Well, apparently Combo Fix and rightly so, evaluated a number of these software products that were claiming to be...
Bleeping Computer, I think.
Bleeping Computer, right. Did the evaluation. And they were claiming that they were legitimate antivirus and anti-spyware programs. But what was happening is that they were being installed on people's computers without their consent and coming up with thousands of rogue, supposed rogue Trojan and viruses and you know, well, claiming that you have to purchase the software in order to remove the viruses.
To make a long story short, one of the contributors to Bleeping Computers put out a pretty good, and we'll post it, explanation of the concerns about Spy Hunter. But what happened was that the company that runs Spy Hunter, which is Enigma Software, then decided that they would handle this by threatening to file a lawsuit. And what they said essentially is...
They have filed it now,
yeah. That they were going to go after them and you know, take them to court and take them for every penny they've worth. They've done this before. This isn't the first time it's been done. And it's not the first time it's been done to a company like, or to a group of people like Bleeping Computer. But what I wanted people to be aware of is that this is kind of a tactic. It's kind of like the trolls, right. You know, who say, look, or like we heard from Donna Klein with eBay, you know, if you don't give me a good rating, I will then, you know, sabotage you. I will give you bad ratings. I will, you know, create havoc for you.
Right.
And this is kind of a way of doing that. In other words, instead of dealing with the legitimate challenges to the way that they were either
marketing their product and yes,
whatever it was. So instead of dealing with the substantive facts in the hand, Spy Hunter decided that they were going to take them to court and essentially break them by costing them all sorts of money. It's a sad, unfortunately, story that is going on all too often. When people don't want to deal with the facts of the matter, they take people to court and try to ruin them that way. So we're gonna post some stuff on the homepage to keep you up with this, because Bleeping Computers is a great resource. Ed, you found it over the years,
yes.
And so have I. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and in just a moment, come back with Todd Palmer to help you with your job search. Well, we have a cast of thousands here in the studio, and delighted to have them all with us. An old friend of ours recently got in touch with us. His name is Joe Bastian, and Joe is somebody that we've had on the air a number of times before, talking about, among other things, the Nain Rouge, the Red Dwarf, and we'll talk about that phenomenon a little bit. But Joe came to us with a subject that is near and dear to a lot of our hearts, and that is looking for a job, and keeping a job, and sometimes suddenly looking for a job. And a fellow author of that he has met and a friend of his is Todd Palmer, who is the author of, among other things, a book called The Job Search Process. And Joe, first of all, thank you. You can press the on button there. There you go. Thank you very much for bringing him in.
Thank you. There we go.
All right. Good to have met. How did you two get to meet one another?
Actually, we met through business. In my day job, I develop corporate education training programs, and Todd and I ran into each other through some corporate functions and built a friendship out of it. And for years, he's had the vision of writing this book about, I mean, he's in the staffing business, mm-hmm. so he understands what it takes to recruit and get jobs for people. And over the years, with his own energy and maybe a little push from me, he's finally put it on paper. So I'm really excited for him.
Oh, that's really cool. Todd, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, you have been a corporate, you've been a staffer for a long time with a company called Diversified Industrial Staffing, right?
He started the company.
Yeah.
That is correct. 1997.
Wow, what? 1997? Wow, good for you. So you have been in a place of helping to place people. And which is a good place to be when you're trying to figure out what really works to get people hired.
Well, what's really changed since 1997 is we used to work a lot with helping people who were unemployed get off the unemployment rolls and get back into the workforce. What we've seen is a massive shift, especially in our category, as a skilled labor employee continues to get into their 50s and now into their 60s, there's just less and less of them. So we've had to shift our methodology to helping someone who's got a job get a better job. And that's a very different recruiting model to convince someone who's got a full-time job to trust us, to champion their cause, and to help them get something better for themselves and for their families.
Well, you know, I'm really involved in and certainly knowledgeable about IT staffing. And I mean, it's hard to find people today. In the world that you play in, which is machinists, CNC operators, it's as hard, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's tough. There's not enough skilled labor out there.
Very much so. And if you take that skilled labor label and you apply it to machinists like I work with, but also to IT people, to accounting people, to nurse people, anyone who's got that, you know, essentially post-secondary education, vocational education, or that ability to have that on-the-job training like a lot of machinists have had or welders have had, those people are very, very rare birds. And we find every day that, you know, there's more and more demand and less talent available.
They're getting older? Is that what you just... That happens, you know? It's better than the alternative.
That is true.
Well, it's... Detroit typically has had kind of like this image of being the place that people are trying to get out of in order to get jobs. You're saying the opposite is this looks like a great place to come if you're trying to get a job.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, again, if you're in the skilled labor category or even, again, in IT, accounting, nursing, one of these areas where you have to be able to apply a skill set to a job as compared to just walk in with a college degree necessarily. There's plenty of opportunities. When we staff nationwide, we do primarily 99% of our placements are full-time permanent placements where, again, we're getting someone a full-time opportunity. And where the idea for the book came into play is in talking with not only kids who are just getting out of college, but also for that person maybe who was displaced or looking for that final career job. They don't know how to find a job. They're just lost. The colleges have not done what a lot of parents are arguing is a good enough job getting, you know, junior ready for that first job, but also for someone who hasn't had to look for a job or, again, used to get a job asking the neighbor across the street or at the bowling on Friday night.
Yeah.
They're just lost. They don't know where to go.
I have often thought, Ed, I'm sorry, you're going to say something.
No, I mean, when Todd first came in here and introduced himself, and I really, he handed me this book. This is a book I'm going to read because I'm in that realm right now. And I have college kids, and I'm like doubly going to read this book now because I'll give it to my son when he gets home on Easter break. He's going to be graduating soon.
Yeah,
you know, how do you search for a job? Dad doesn't have that experience. I've been out of the work market for 29 years and haven't had to look for a job, you know?
Yeah.
So this is great.
And
appreciate that.
The great thing about it is cross-generational. The message is it applies to a lot of different people. We find that even when we talk to high school kids or college kids, they just think there's going to be a job available for them. And I'm like, you guys have to really take some necessary steps on an everyday basis to get where you want to go. And that's why we say you can find it. If you follow the process, you'll have a job within 30 days.
You know what I think makes that tough, too, is that, Ed, when you were coming out of high school, you know, in that age group, there were a lot of jobs available, weren't there? I mean,
in the mid-80s,
That's true.
You know, what happened when I went to a job search? I graduated from high school. My dad had the Navy come over and give a presentation with the slideshow against the wall. But it's the paneling, and we hung a sheet up, and a couple technical trades, and then I think GMI was there. And that was the recruiting. that was the job search and college search at the time.
For sure. And one of the interesting things that you say about at least your parents were cared enough to drive you at least in some direction or provide you with some guidance. But the statistics show that 80% of jobs are never posted anywhere. They're not listed anywhere. Okay. So you can't go to Craigslist. You can't go to Monster, Career Builder, anywhere to find the jobs.
That has been my contention. My grandson, Tony, is looking for a job right now. He got his computer degree at Oakland County Community College. He got an associate's degree there, and now he's ready. He wants to get in on a kind of a ground floor someplace, any way he can get in. And I keep on telling him, it's about networking, Tony. It's about
for
who
sure.
you know, and not necessarily about getting the perfect resume together.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Am I wrong in that?
No, absolutely. We tell everybody networking is the number one way to find a job. And the networking is done through social media, put it on Facebook. You can tell, you know, friends and family. You can just broadcast it to the world because everybody knows a company that's looking for someone. They may not be looking for someone with your grandson's skill sets, but he may know someone. I met Joe. Joe knew you guys. I mean, it's all about networking.
I'm asking the guys here in the studio here, how did you get your jobs? Was it through... Gary has had so many
I'm
jobs.
Sorry.
We lost count.
And I was thinking, Gary's a professional. He's a professional mentor. You know, he mentors other people. Mm-hmm. And he's a job hunter himself. And he's always looking for something.
Yeah. And it's always a friend that contacts me. And
okay. That's what I thought. It's a network.
Right?
How about you, Ed? Was it a network for you, or was it...
Let's see. Yes, it was a network. I had some friends that I went to college with that actually said...
Cal, how about you?
No, I pretty much just kind of got off the Conestoga wagon, and they just hired me.
But you guys have been in the same job.
I walked out of high school.
You've been in the same
got
job.
Got hired.
Yeah. Or the same company.
Basically in the same job the entire time.
Oh, wow.
Time.
Same company.
You are a rare individual, I would think. Right, yeah. Todd?
Very much a rare case. Especially, you know, what we see happening is, you know, the average person in their 40s is going to have about 4 to 6 careers, meaning not just a job, but a career. The millennials coming out, they're looking to double that number easily.
That's what I had heard, that 8 careers in their lifetime, by the time that they are at quote-unquote retirement age. And what is retirement age? You know, I'm going to be turning
75, I think is what it was, wasn't it?
It might be around there. 80? I mean, people are working, and people are in better health as they're getting older, generally speaking, present company accepted, as they get older, and they're continuing to work.
And, you know, to Todd's point about some jobs aren't even posted, I was interviewing somebody yesterday. I hope she's not listening. interviewing her yesterday for a job, and we're not going to put her in that job. We're going to put her in another job. She doesn't know that yet. That's why I hope she's not listening. but we're going, whoa, with her skill set, we need her over here. So we're going to create a job for her.
Yeah. And the other thing I could think of is, you know, when kids go to college, they always go, oh, you know, I'm being recruited by this fraternity, you know. And I always, you know, poo-pooed on that idea and stuff like that. But really, that is a good, if the child or your son or daughter is particular in what fraternity they go in, and it's not a party one, it can actually be beneficial. They'll build a lot of social skills and build a network within that fraternity.
I have a grandson at Michigan State University who's going into med school, and he is building that kind of a network now. Shane, how about you? How did you get in your job right now? I know you're...
Well, you know, it was just something. It was everything that I do now in my life is a passion of mine. That's the only way I'm going to make it. You know, my degree in college is conservation and forestry. So, you know, that's
you're not climbing trees anymore.
Smokey the Bear. No, he looks like Smokey the Bear.
So everything I do in my life now is because I'm passionate about it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good for you. I want to come back and talk more about taking that idea, the passion you have, and turning that into a job, Todd. Palmer is our guest right now. Job search process is what we're talking about, and we will return with that on the Internet Advisor. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Bob, my name, and in studio we have our whole crew and a gentleman named Todd Palmer. Todd, thanks so much for being with us. He's the author of a book called Job Search Process. Somebody who's been involved in helping people find jobs through diversified industrial staffing for many, many years. He's also...
He's only helped 4,300 people, right, to find jobs. So let's put it in perspective. Of course, he is, you know, Inc. says that he's one of the fastest growing companies in America, and Corp Magazine, one of the best Michigan economics bright spots. So, so he must be doing something right, you think? Other than writing this great book that I have.
How did you have time to write the book? That's what I wanted to know, Todd.
Well, you mentioned earlier about passions, and one of my big passions in life is to improve lives. That's it's on the back of our business card, it's on our website. And I have to give full credit to an author named Simon Sinek who wrote a book about finding your why.
I love Simon Sinek.
I saw Simon speak before. He hadn't even written his book yet. This is how long ago it was. Wow. And it took me 2 years to figure out my why. So anything I spend my time with, whether it's writing the book, working in my business, playing baseball, I always try to improve someone's life in that process. And it's just once I had that mind shift to focus on it, that piece, it's been an amazing ride.
Yeah. Okay.
And you mentioned baseball. Now you and I talked about it before we were on the air. By the way, we've got to get that webcam up during the commercial breaks and whatnot, because that's when a lot of the really fascinating conversations happen. But you were also telling me, and this is an aside. I know it's not part of the book and part of the show, but you have one of the largest, if not the largest, private baseball card collection signed, right?
I do, yes.
Wow.
So how many do you have? Can you keep track of them all?
I do keep track of them all. First of all, I have to thank my wife for allowing me to be able to have such an enormous collection. It's in excess of 250,000.
250,000 cards?
Signed, yeah.
Signed baseball cards.
How far back?
As far back as the 50s, give or take.
Now,
okay, so some of the players that I remember.
So, because we're old, okay? Yeah. But now you play baseball still, but you're not these are not guys you play baseball with. This is after they stop playing that you get their
Exactly. No, I play for recreational fun.
Todd,
when they're looking for a real job, then he gets their autograph.
Todd, your book is kind of interesting the way it's laid out. It's called The Job Search Process, and it looks like about half of it is are your tips, and we're going to talk about that in terms of the tip. But then half of it is also kind of a workbook.
That's correct.
You designed this to be something that people can not only take the information but get into and then start digging into it and use it to chronicle their own job search.
A perfect way to put it. We discovered when we were talking to people about the process that if we gave them the information on what to do, we found that one of their big bottlenecks is they wouldn't know the next steps to take. And that's why we've essentially tabbed it all out, laid it out so someone can read the first half of the book and then follow the process and chronicle it through the remainder part of the book to see that the success at the end. It's very much, and it's designed to keep it very simple. It's designed for anyone to use, a high school grad all the way up to someone who in their, again, later stages of their career looking to make a transition and make a change. It's got to be accessible for the people. Again, it goes to our point of, if I want to improve lives, it's got to apply to everybody so that we can make a difference not only in our community but in our world as a totality.
Cal?
You know, Todd, when you say accessible, I'm sitting here looking at the book right now, and it's a pulp-based unit right now. Is it also accessible as an e-book? And where can people get this book from?
It's available as a Kindle version through Amazon.com the Job Search Process book. We also have our own website, www.jobsearchprocess.com. And it was very interesting because we want to make sure, again, it has an appeal and it's readily accessible to anybody who wants to have a copy of it.
We're going to be, by the way, posting that on our homepage.
That's right. So people don't have to pull off the road to write that down.
Right. It will be there.
Just go to our website, internetadvisor.net, after the show, and you'll be able to get it.
We'll be posting all the information. Your title says, The Job Search Process, Find and Land a Great Job in Less Than 30 Days. That's a pretty bold statement to make.
So, and I feel like I can make that statement because I've actually had to do it. So during our break, we were kind of talking about our first jobs and things like that. In my first job out of college, I was awful at it. And I wasn't I had to go find another job because I wasn't very good at my first job. And my brother was in the staffing space. He'd give me a lot of support and a lot of ideas. And actually, the graduation gift I got as a college senior was a book on how to find a job from my brother.
Oh.
So he was a very good mentor in that respect, and he's been a mentor. He continues to be a mentor to this day, so I'm very fortunate that way. And so what I found was if I applied the methodologies, one week when I was in my mid-20s, when I was looking for a job, I had 10 interviews. I gotten 6 offers because I followed a process. I tweaked the process that I learned when I was younger, put some different spins on it in this book so that, again, if you follow the process, I got a job in like 22 days one time. Looking for a different job.
So this is a formula. This is a proven formula, if you will. Cal?
No, you're talking about in 30 days getting a job. Are you saying getting the job that you want or getting a job?
Well,
and I know that's putting you on the spot.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's a very fair question. And I've had some parents, when they bought the book, ask me the same thing. and really, I say it's getting a job to start with. It's the job. Job search process is really designed for the kid who's just gotten out of high school or college to find their first job. And as I think a lot of guys in the room can attest to, your first job isn't still the job you have. Now, for someone who says, I want to find my next career, you want to take the methodologies. And the methodologies are based upon a rigid discipline to following a process. So if you said, I want to get from this job to this job, if you take those pieces, at the stage of our careers, you want to plug in your network a lot more. You want to be able to take these pieces and go out and to call your friends and family and say, who do you know who might be able to use my skill set? Mm-hmm. So the activity may not be as much from a volume perspective, much more strategically laser focused, at that second and third stage of your career.
Let me ask you some questions that came up from my grandson recently in an interview process. Is it fair that somebody would ask somebody about disabilities in a job interview if they had disabilities? Is that okay to ask?
Not in the U.S.
I'm not sure I would ask them. I guess you really need. I would need to know more of the context of how they were asked, and if the.
Well, they ask literally. Do you have things like OCD or bipolar disorder? They were asking about some pretty heavy mental health things besides a physical disorder. Disability,
for sure.
Pardon me.
It wouldn't be my recommendation.
Yeah, I would think you're treading on some pretty
Yeah, not in the U.S. You're not supposed to ask questions.
I was going
to
say, that's pretty shaky ground.
One thing, I do know that if your job requires you to, do you have the ability to lift 50 pounds?
Yeah, that's
you can much ask. More because yes. It's a function of the job.
If you're gonna, I have a friend who's a firefighter, and he has to carry large things upstairs to be able to put. He has to do it. He has a very different, the overall context that I always say when we interview candidates, and we ask our clients to interview the candidates that we provide, is the question has to be applicable to the job that they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be doing essentially clerical or IT work and you're not lifting big generators, asking them whether they can lift 50 pounds doesn't really apply.
Right.
Chances are people aren't going to be offended by that. Mm-hmm. The flip side of it is you should ask somebody if they're going to be lifting large pieces from not only from a competency standpoint, sure, but a safety standpoint.
Absolutely.
Primarily.
Absolutely. Todd, by the way, Todd Palmer is our guest here. The book is called The Job Search Process. How about, is it worth signing up with a job search agency?
Well, as a recruiter, I would say absolutely.
Yeah, you should, of course.
But to that,
I know it's a loaded question.
It's a loaded question. I appreciate the free plug. But at the end of the day, you want to pick an agency that is going to best serve your needs, and you, as a job seeker, should know what you want. So when someone will come to us, and they maybe don't go to a different recruiting company, they're coming to us because they're a welder, because they're a machinist.
Okay.
Flip side. So you mentioned that if your grandson wanted to get into IT, there are boutique firms and even large national firms that have within them departments that just focus on IT. He should go out and find those individuals.
Okay, so then he's shopping for an agency that's tailored to the kind of field that he wants to get into.
Exactly.
Cal, you were going to ask?
Okay, so, I've never, ever had to use a recruiter before. How does that all work, and how do you get your income from it, and how does that all work, just in a nutshell, basic recruiting?
Well, I can tell you, there's basic recruiting, and I can tell you how we do recruiting. So basic recruiting is a company calls up a recruiting agency, find me a person, the recruiting agency goes out and finds that person. That's how the process begins. We have a different spin on it. Our process is called candidate-centric. So we go out and find that candidate first, almost like a sports agent or a Hollywood agent.
Oh.
And we want to get that candidate in front of as many of our prospects as possible to get him or her that best option. So we represent that candidate first as compared to going out into the marketplace and trying to plug in a job spot. Because, again, we realize that not only are we moving an employee into a new opportunity, that employee typically will be bringing their family along with them, the benefit packages, the
vacation. Do they have to pay for it at that point?
No,
the candidates?
We work for 99% of the recruiting companies I have ever heard of work free of charge. Actually, in the state of Michigan, mm-hmm, you can't charge someone to help them find a job.
Oh, okay.
So how do you stay in business?
The client pays us.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And especially in the space that we're in, there's statistically about 600,000 openings on a daily basis for skilled trades labor. So if we've got somebody who can plug in one of those spots, we're able to get an audience with a lot of manufacturing companies, whether it's automotive or aerospace, medical device.
Gary, is that same thing in IT as well?
Yes. Yeah. There's both retained search firms, and you'll go work for the company, or contingent firms, but you'll still get paid by the company.
Yeah, all right.
Or you hire IT like I do by just giving a kid next door a pizza and ask them to fix it up.
Well, that works too.
Todd Palmer is our guest here. Job Search Process is the name of the book. We're going to be back in just a moment continuing our conversation with Todd, and then Joe Bastian is going to come in talk about the little red devil who's been trying to be run out of town.
He's a dwarf.
Well, okay, he's a dwarf. Red That's dwarf. Right. He's not actually a... We don't need the horns in that thing. All right, coming back in just a few minutes. At this time of the program, I'd like to thank the people behind the glass. Mr. Rich Lozinski, who's our engineer. Thank you, Rich, for being there. And also Logan Standifer, who's our producer. Thank you very much, Logan. We're going to make you work, honey. We're going to make you work coming up this next hour.
And she has a special relationship with you.
She is my granddaughter. I'm very proud of her. She's also a student at Specs Howard School of Broadcasting, where I graduated.
And looks nothing like you, thank God.
Thank heavens.
Yes.
Thank
she's
heavens.
A very attractive
you
young woman.
You can hear her smile when she answers the phone.
You're
so we
right.
hope you call.
That's so nice. Yeah. Yes. I want to get back to Todd Palmer as our guest here. His book is called Job Search Process. Maybe just a final question for you about this, and then we'll talk about where people can get hold of the book itself. Is there a particular question that you find people are missing when they're in an interview that they just don't ask and could be really significant to them if they only would ask that question?
Oh, absolutely. So what we see, and we get a lot of this feedback from our customers too on the recruiting side, is he or she just did not seem interested in the job. They came in, they had low energy, they just act like they were doing us a favor to come in and do the interview. And we talked to the candidate, like, well, I was nervous and I was scared. And so what we tell our candidates is, if there's a job you really, 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 really want, ask for it there. And if they give you a deflection, ask for it again. You'd be surprised how many people, by just showing that enthusiasm and that interest in that employer, are going to get that job. Because if that employer interviews 10 people, I can guarantee you, unless someone reads the book, the other nine aren't going to ask for the job.
Folks, this book is really fascinating because half of it is tips, and they've come from many, many years of experience of helping people, over 4,000 people get jobs that Todd has done over the years. But the other half of it is also kind of a workbook. So if you've got a young person in your house, like my grandson, who is entering into the IT job field, this would be a great thing for him to kind of chronicle the process and to help about think about what the next step are. And also for people like geezers our age, who are perhaps thinking of moving careers or getting deeper in or looking for another job, also good to help people think in those terms as well.
Absolutely. The book has universal appeal. It's definitely our goal with the book is to have it be within the next 3 to 5 years the number one gift given to any kid graduating from high school or college by a grandparent, by someone who loves and cares about that child. Again, that goes to our why. That goes to the core of what we do in improving lives. So that's really what we want to do. And it, but also applies again to the geezers in the room.
Thank you. You tip your hat to us. Okay, right.
The book is called The Job Search Process: Find and Land a Great Job in Less Than 30 Days. Todd Palmer is the author. And again, we'll have all the links for you to be able to find the book online. You get it as a Kindle ebook. You can also get it through Amazon. And we'll have all those links there. Todd, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Foster, there's one guy that's been hanging around Detroit for a long time. We don't want him to have a job here, and he's a little red dwarf.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Nain Rouge. And by the way, for those of you who have gone to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you see this rather sinister looking character with flames all around him, and he's the Nain Rouge. Actually, that page that's there is part of a comic. And the last time, Joe Bastian, you were on with us, we were talking about that particular comic, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Actually, that comic was in development, and now it has been released. It's been out for about a year now.
Tell us the legend of the Red Dwarf of Nain Rouge.
Sure. Well, the legend is over 300 years old.
Yeah.
And the Nain Rouge, it's French for Red Dwarf, and he appears as a harbinger of doom just before bad events.
Mm-hmm.
And he is indigenous to the city of Detroit.
When did that start?
It started with Cadillac when he founded Detroit in 1701.
And so why the Red Dwarf? Tell us more.
Well, traditionally, that it comes from France. The whole idea of the Luton or the mischievous little dwarf.
Oh.
So it came over with the French. But what's interesting is 300 years ago, the legend was here. And over time, it got lost.
Yeah,
but it was Detroit-centric, right?
It was Detroit-centric,
in Detroit.
Yeah. And actually, St. Anne's Church, which is one of the oldest churches in the country, used to have a festival 150 years ago, where in the spring, someone would dress as the Nain Rouge, and they would broom him out of the city down to the river.
And so, throw him in the river?
No,
cold in March.
But so this was a tradition, and then now they've just brought this back in the past few years. I wrote the book trilogy. The first book came out in 2009. I rediscovered the legend. I was asking around, has anyone heard of the Nain Rouge? And they're like, what? I'm like, I was born and raised here. I've never heard of this. So I went and started doing a lot of research on it. The legend is very old, but there wasn't a lot of backstory. It was the basic legend was this red dwarf appears as a harbinger of doom, and people have actually seen it over the past.
So this would have come with the French-Canadian settlers as a French story.
With Cadillac, who founded Detroit.
Right, Antoine de Lamotte Cadillac, yeah. And that's almost, is it 300 years ago?
Over 300 years.
Yeah, that he came and landed on the
1701,
shores.
1701,
yeah. Wow. So when did the red dwarf first appear around Cadillac's time?
Well, the legend that we've built on. So all that existed was the basic. There's this red dwarf that appears as a harbinger of doom,
right.
just for bad events. And what I did in the book trilogy that became the graphic novel that we're moving into creating the movie for it. We tied it that he is actually the protector of the land, or he was.
Oh.
And when Cadillac came, he appeared at Fort Pontchartrain and said, I'm here to help you cultivate and grow the land. And Cadillac kicked him out of the fort and said, I don't need your help.
He dissed him.
Ah. So the Nain Rouge turned and he cursed. And he said, take what you steal and steal what you keep. The shepherd must pay for his sins with his sheep. So that was the curse on the city. And you fast forward to modern times in the stories that I wrote, there are these two teenagers who end up, their descendants of one of Cadillac's men, and they're actually the ransom of the curse. So,
I got you. I see.
But there's no more sheep in this in the well, modern the version.
The sheep are the kids. Those are the kids.
No, this has been going. The March of the Red Dwarf has been going on for how many years now in Detroit?
This will be the seventh year. March du Nain Rouge, and Francis Grinnell, who heads it up. Francis was a grad student at Wayne State, and when I was finishing the first book, someone said, hey, they're bringing a parade back or something.
Ah.
And Francis and I met for the first time 7 years ago, so it was very very serendipitous, and we were actually working in parallel on two
That's fascinating.
Similar projects.
And
yeah.
So March 20th is going to be the march.
Yes, Sunday.
And they march this guy out of town, right?
They do.
They don't like this red
So what? Board. How does that work? I mean, where do they start?
Yeah. So they start at the traffic jam and snug right down in Midtown.
Good place to start.
Yeah. And it's a very much a Mardi Gras feel. So
it looked like it when I saw it.
You're supposed to dress up in costume or something that masks you, so the Nain Rouge doesn't know who you are and can't exact revenge if you're able to kick him out of the city.
I got you.
So, you know, it's become very family-friendly over the years. 1 o'clock, it starts at Traffic Jam and Snug. The Nain Rouge may appear. He has every year. and you march him right down, all the way down through the Cass Corridor to the Masonic Temple, banish him, and then there's a party afterwards at the Masonic Temple in the Fountain Ballroom.
Sounds like a whole level.
Sounds fun.
Kel?
You know, he seems like the sort of guy that needs a Marvel logo in front of him somewhere down the line. You know, he could be a superhero with the twist of the story.
So, you know, there was a movie made here about Superman meets Batman, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a movie, Joe, that's made here, and it's going to be about our own... Well, not superhero, but our own little...
The anti-hero.
Yeah,
anti-hero.
The own little Red Dwarf. Tell us about the movie.
Yeah, so we're actually going to launch the campaign the week of the march. We have the trailer, so I think you guys got a little teaser you got
that
to see
early.
That
is one spooky trailer.
It came out really, really nice. And this is a community project, so we're gonna start with a Kickstarter, with a crowdfunding campaign to get everyone involved, and then we'll be shooting the film this summer.
Excellent. Well, we're going to have links on our homepage again to the trailer and some of the other things so people can get involved in supporting that.
That's
Joe,
right.
Thanks again for being with us. We're out to talk some more when the march comes up, okay?
Absolutely.
I'll have you back here. Maybe even interview the man himself.
You think we could get the Red Dwarf to show up?
I bet you could.
Okay. We'll try.
You might have to clean up, though.
We'll do that just to get the
Folks,
scoop.
Hang on. This is just the first of 3 hours coming up in this next hour. Starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to be talking about Apple versus the FBI. That's a big brouhaha that has been brewing around the internet. And we'll also be meeting some folks who have the only third-party Apple place in the entire state of Michigan, Riesler. We'll be back with that, Mac Professionals, in the second hour.